We're kind of light in numbers, but that's good. Baptist Breads for May and June are up here. I talked to the folks there, and we're going to see if we can get them in they do them every 2 months, so, which is really pretty good. And they also, the price is much better than it used to be. So anyway, Baptist Breads are up there, and I like those better than the Daily Breads and those kind of things. So if you'd like to have something like that, we stopped doing that because we just couldn't afford to do it. And so in talking with them, I've ordered just a few, and we can handle it now. So good morning on this first Sunday of April. I have no clue where everybody's at this morning, but God does. Of course, I remember the old preachers used to say some people, not even the FBI, CIA, or any of them alphabet companies could even find them. So it seems like Christians disappear on worship day. Have you ever noticed that? But they don't disappear on Easter and Christmas. They by their religion, they show up. So I had an interesting discussion about that. Somebody said to me, "Well, why don't you have Good Friday services?" I said, "Well, why? He's in the grave."
Amen.
You know why? Because then every first day of the week, we worship and meet together to give our tithes and offerings. And together we worship Jesus Christ together and fellowship with one another and love on each other, create relationships and whatnot. And we do that on the first day of the week because Jesus Christ arose again on the first day of the week. So it's kind of interesting how people are either religious or they have a relationship. Now, I've been kind of condemned a little bit for talking about relationship a lot, but I think that's exactly what the Bible teaches. So anybody that has a problem with relationship, tell them they need to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
So, and Mama Ward, now that you, the new Baptist Bread for June and July, May and June's here. So Kevin, make sure Grandma gets one of those. All right. Well, you're dismissed to Sunday school. If you're going to be up here, got a few notes for you. This morning message, we're going to be preaching a little bit on alcohol starting this morning. And hey, Kenny, can you hand one of these out? Yeah, you guys are going to have to stop going in front of the camera, you morons. Good grief. You know, all you have to do is go down the aisle. What am I going to do with them? All right, Brother Ray, come on up here. I'm giving them a hard time this morning because I haven't had a chance to because they're late. They're late. And you know what I feel about lateness. Well, we got traffic. Well, then you go a half hour early.
Not yet.
Oh, the boys weren't. Yeah, the young men. Thank you, sir. All right, Brother Ray, why don't you ask the blessing on the offering this morning, sir?
Dear Father, thank you again for all you've done, provided for us here, Lord. I pray you just help us to hear what you have for us today, Lord, for in the Sunday school hour. Lord, I pray that you just bless us the money, so Lord, I pray that we can keep things up for you, Lord, and pray that you just bless the service, and Lord, that we can see souls saved. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Exodus chapter 28, verses 15, please. Exodus 28, verse 15. We've been looking at the holy garments the holy garments of the great high priest. And I will not go as far as many men, especially amongst the independent Baptists, which really are heretical in the way they look at clothing. I don't have a suit coat on today, but I don't find anywhere in the Bible where I've got to have a suit coat on. Now, they will go back to the Old Testament law and they'll see all the pomp and ritual that God had set up because of his law. He wanted it done this way and that way. And so what they do is they tell us, and by the way, you ought to live by the law. Now, we are under grace. But Christian, you need the law and you need grace. You need doctor law and doctor grace. You do. I've seen teenagers come into the building, and last week I got on them, and they're not happy with me. One had cut up blue jeans on. I said, "You do this when you go up to your church in Midland?" "No." I said, "Then what makes you think you can do it here?"
Amen. Why would you?
You shouldn't do it here. Kids that know better, especially the know better, they ought to be dressed right. And I think there is a big deal to be said about what we wear to church. And you know, the Bible talks about your very best, whatever thy hand findeth to do with all thy might. You know, do all things to the glory of the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to. Now, I have at camp, I have in prison different clothing. There's been a couple times at camp that we've done that where it was so hot I'm gonna tell you now, I wore some shorts, my golf shorts. They're a little bit longer. They're not as not like a gym short or whatnot, and a polo and my tennis shoes. I'm not gonna wear shorts here on this Sunday morning because it's only 45 degrees in the beautiful state of Michigan. Florida, Michigan put together. I'm gonna call it Michigan. If that's okay with you. Anyhow, my point with it is clothing is very important. I seen a article yesterday, well, I also seen the video on the article, of a transgender lawyer out in Oregon or Washington, one of the two, and it was just plumb nasty, the transgender of this, and that's what our society has become. And we are at that height of sin, like Sodom and Gomorrah,
yep,
and the cities of the plains.
Yep.
You need to go back. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were killed that day because of God's judgment of fire and brimstone on them. And by the way, when God brings judgment, he is righteous.
Yes.
And when God brings grace and mercy, he is righteous. God never, ever sins. He cannot sin. So with that this morning, I want to look at the breastplate of the righteousness of the great high priest. And it might take us a couple weeks to get through this. Verse 15. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, and of fine twined linen. Thou shalt make it. Four squares shall be being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, and a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row a ligure, and an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and jasper. And they shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to thy 12 tribes. And this morning, looking at the breastplate, there's some thoughts here that I'd like to show you. But to do that, let's go over to Hebrews. Now hold your place here in Exodus and come to Hebrews with me, please. Hebrews chapter 2. The Lord Jesus is our great high priest.
Yes.
But to prove that, I do not know it without the word of God. Now, many would say, well, then your Bible's your crutch and you're clinging to it, as president of the false prophet Barack Obama said, that believers, all they do is cling to their guns and their Bibles. And you need to understand, beloved, seriously, these politicians, for the most part, celebrities, they're false prophets.
Yeah.
And they are in the work of Satan. They are satanic priests, and there's a great many of them that are proving it with much of their music and their movies and so many other things. This Madonna, I don't remember her exact name. Don't pray for her. She needs to be saved. But the more and more she looks in public as she gets older, the more she really looks like a priestess of Satan. And there's many others that do it, like Lady Gaga, for example, with their makeup and whatnot. Without their makeup, she's one of the most beautiful, Stephanie something's her name, one of the most beautiful voices.
Yeah.
Yet all it is a voice for Satan. And they laugh at those statements. There might be some that are watching even now that are laughing at those statements which I just made. But the truth is, you're either following the Lord Jesus, him as the great high priest, or you're following Satan,
right,
who is his high priest to those that follow Satan. There's been much said about the celebrities such as Beyonce and her husband Jay-Z, and that how they are worshipers of Satan. Jeffrey Epstein, with what he did with Epstein's Island, and then all the perverts and all the wicked people like Tom Hanks. That were there, and Oprah Winfrey, and the list goes on. Oh, wait a minute, Trump rode on a plane. Well, you know what, he didn't go to the island, though. So, and to be honest with you, we all know that Trump is not an altar boy. And to tell you the truth, he's not my God, and he's not the answer to America. We are seeing what we're seeing because of the sin of America.
Right.
Your sin and my sin. Now, with that, Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and look at verse number 9. The Lord Jesus is our great high priest. How do I know that? From the word of God. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. What does that mean? He came into this world and he was born of a virgin. The angels are a little bit greater than you and I. Now, the angels look into salvation, but they cannot partake of it. Matter of fact, they celebrate every time a human being is saved, according to Luke chapter 6. So, angels for the suffering of death. He needed to be made a little lower than the angels. Y'all understand that? So now, look, crowned with glory and honor, that he, and watch this. Now, the breastplate was a breastplate of judgment. Watch this here. This is interesting. Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He says in John chapter 3 from his own mouth, he says, I've come into the world not to condemn the world. So when God condemns something, it's condemned. It had done you and I no good if the Lord Jesus had come into this world and had condemned it and double condemned it. Wouldn't have made any difference. See, he is God. He'd already condemned it. He didn't need to come into this world to condemn it. He came into this world that by grace he might save. Do you understand that?
Praise
the Lord. He come, Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, how the Son of Man had come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's not come to condemn the world. The world's already condemned.
Right.
You and I were condemned before we were saved. There's many of you that are watching and listening on Facebook or whatever, Rumble and some of these others. And by the way, you can go to our site on Rumble and you'll see these messages. But there's a great many people today, they think they're saved and they're not.
Yes. That's true.
There's a great many people that aren't saved, but have believed in the Lord Jesus, and they don't know if they're saved or not. It's a shame. And the devil wants the believer to think they're unsaved,
right,
and for the unbeliever to think that they're not. They are saved.
I know.
So as the great high priest, look at verse number 10. Before it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, for both he that sanctifieth and they which are sanctified are all one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. This is the Lord Jesus taking on a body. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that is death, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them. This is the work of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That's why he's been made a little lower than the angels.
Yeah.
Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. You have to understand, there is no other person, no other work, no amount of money, nothing in this universe that can save your soul. And that is the great high priest, the Lord Jesus, is. He says right here, the reconciliation for the sins of the people. He said nothing else could. So what is the opposite of that? Well, Satan is the opposite. The devil, he's the opposite of that. He wants everybody to go to hell with him.
Right.
You ever thought about that? The Lord Jesus saves that we might be in that place that he's preparing for us. Now, I know there's already mansions there and all. But he's preparing a special place for the church, for his bride. You have a choice. You can either be there or in the place that was prepared for the devil and his angels.
Sure.
You'll either live eternally in fire or you live eternity in perfect, holy righteousness of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
There's no in between.
No.
There is no purgatory,
no.
Libido or labando or whatever they call that stuff. There is none of that junk.
No.
Right?
No.
So the Lord Jesus is our great high priest. And right here it proves it. Verse 18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is also able to succor them that are tempted. Now, this word suckered is much what a mom does when a child is scared. When a child runs to them, we've had a couple in our Taekwondo, because there's a lot of people, and it does get noisy, and there's certain personalities that are struggling, but they're getting better at it. See, the beauty of the martial arts is to get you through the things you think you can't do. For example, being in a big crowd of people and being noisy, and you being able to keep your head. I'm going to tell you right now, I like to be by myself. You know what the biggest struggle is for me? Is to be in groups. And to be honest with you, is to be up in front of people. I mean, growing up, I didn't mind being in front of people, but as I get older, I get tired of being in front. I tell you the biggest thing is, and the preachers, you pray for the preachers, the good preachers, sister, like brother there at Fundamental, Brother Raven. You pray for the good preachers, like Brother Joel Arthur. You pray for the good preachers, the men of God, like Brother Rick Cook at Horace Baptist Church. You pray for the good preachers that are standing and that are preaching the Word of God, because we get tired of talking and nobody doing.
Yeah.
See, there's a famine in the land, and that is of hearing the Word of God.
Yeah.
To stand and to read the Word. But thank God for repentance. Then you ask God to forgive you. And those ears that are on, you can help. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I know that Kyrus's ears are on. I know Sister Ward's ears are on. I know that Sister Catherine's ears are on. Brother Ray, But does that make sense to you? It's like this morning, the more empty pews that we have, just is the degradation of our society, the great falling away of the faith, and the fact that people just don't want God. And it's so easy to take it personal. Now, with this in mind, there are some other passages. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 4, verse 14. Chapter 4, verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Boy, that's a big one right there, isn't it? Verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ cannot lie. He cannot sin. I have heard in the independent Baptist preachers, Brother Griffiths down in Kentucky, and many others throughout the South and throughout and a lot of places I've been at, these men literally believe that Jesus could have sinned.
Blasphemous.
That is wicked heresy, and right, Sister Karis, that's blasphemous. These men actually believe that when Jesus went up on that pedestal and the Lord Jesus said, or the devil said, I'll give you all this, he could have fallen to that temptation. Cast yourself down. What really gets me is, and these men will have them in to preach. Men will support their camps.
Oh no!
It's wickedness that the believers are not in the Word, and they're being deceived even by the very preachers behind the pulpit.
Yeah.
This Baptist bread you better be careful with. I know what the Greens believe. Now, I don't know so much about Brother Jimmy on a lot of things, but not only the Greens, but many other preachers. And the preachers I've met up in Midland and Mayo and some of these other places out at Fort Faith and some of the things they believe and this kind of thing. And that's why they hate me, is because, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible teaches. For example, there are those in the state of Michigan, and I've met them in Pennsylvania, I've seen them in Florida and Alabama, but they're called Paulinites. I was literally told by Steve Green that all we need are the books of Paul. That's not true. We need all this Bible.
Amen.
You don't need just part of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished into all good works. You need to be careful. There are some of them sorry rascals in that bread and some of these things. Believing that a woman that wears blue jeans can't be used to God. You know, I was telling the men, I heard this week, one man, he literally said that a woman who wears blue jeans, he questioned their salvation.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Bible for that.
Mm-hmm.
I go off to these meetings, and I sit there, and I listen to them, And there's some guys that turn it into an infomercial, which I don't appreciate. And the pastor that's hosting it shouldn't allow it. It's not going to happen here. What do you mean by that? They get up there and they talk about their DVDs and their DVDs and their DVDs and their DVDs. And I don't need a DVD. I need the Word of God.
Amen.
I need the King James Bible.
Amen.
I need the Word that the Holy Spirit wants to teach me. I need what my great high priest wants for me. That's right, beloved. I'm just going to say it right now. That's wicked. Well, wait a minute. You talk about missionaries when they come. And there have been some missionaries who wrote books. Brother Jeffco.
Yes.
Brother William Jeffco. What a blessing.
Yeah.
He wrote his book. He'd give it away before he sell it. So the Lord sells it, which is probably one of their better books that they have. See, there's a whole lot of problems today because we're not following the our great high priest, the Lord Jesus. Now listen, you're not going to like this, but John R. Rice wasn't right. Schofield isn't right. John R. Rice taught that you should put your monies up, your tithes, and when God shows you where that tithe goes, that's where you put it. That's not what the Bible teaches. Bible teaches says you ought to bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord the first day of the week. That's what the church did. See, there's a lot of corruption out there today because we're not following the great high priest. Well, Brother Garvey, you make it sound like there's not many. There's not. There's not. So I love men like Brother Rader. And Sister Ward, I'm not saying that just because you're in the room. There's some good men of God out there. There's some good men of God that you've never even heard of.
Right.
Y'all ever heard of a man named Jeff Gilder?
No.
Charlie Fitz?
No.
No, you ain't heard of Charlie. I mentioned Dr. Harold Tabb, Pastor Tabb. I mentioned him, and you've heard of him. I'm trying to remember the Van Dyke fellow from Texas, and I just lost his name. You hadn't heard of him. There's some other really good men of God out there that you've never heard of. But why is it that the preach, and they have men preach, and they just, they don't follow the great high priest, and they don't follow his word, and they preach the sorriness, and that's why we've got some pretty sorry Christians today. And don't tell me you love God if you're not in the house of God. We're not to forsake the assembling together. Yet there's many preachers today that say, just if you can make it once in a while. Hey, look, on Wednesday night, I used to have to work Wednesday nights. But when I didn't, I was in the house of God. I understand working through the week. Boy, do I understand it. And we like to find jobs that we're able to be at every church service through the week even. But reality is you have to work in this old world too. Beloved, this great high priest, the Lord Jesus, is super important in our world. Look at verse 16 of chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to extend grace and mercy to the preacher and to the believer because I pray that God will show me grace and mercy. But beloved, there's such a thing that we need to follow the great high priest for who he is. And the fact that he cannot sin. The Lord Jesus could not sin. He's God.
Amen.
Now, look at chapter 8, verse 1. I like this verse because Paul really sums it up right here. Hebrews 8, chapter 8, verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
That's the whole. Listen, I'm mentioning some things today. Don't be deceived. You're sitting in a service, or you're sitting around a group of Christians, and they start talking about this and that, you better be careful. Let me give you an example. This week, there's a family, and I don't know how long they'll be here, that's been coming to the martial arts. They won't be here long, I can tell you that now, because they believe in some pretty crazy stuff. Number one, they believe in a flat earth. Even the Bible, in a couple different places, and forgive me for not remembering the verses, but the Bible proves that the earth is round. Yeah? When you start believing silliness like that, you're not reading the Bible.
Right.
You believe in man. By the way, you know there's three different types of people in this world, right? There are those that follow God. And we still fail, don't we? But then there's those that follow after Satan or his minions.
Yeah.
Or they're one of Satan's minions doing some leading.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that? There's only three different people in this world.
Wow. Yeah.
And we need to understand this. Now, let's come back to Exodus 28. Did I thoroughly confuse you yet? I hope
no.
not. And if you've got any
yeah.
questions, just holler. If,
yeah.
if you're watching, you can go to our website and you can send messages yeah. and tell me how terrible I am or how handsome I am. It's up to you. But this breastplate of the Holy Spirit, the breastplate of the great high priest, look back at verse number 15. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment and cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold and of blue and of purple and of scarlet.
Really?
And of fine twine linen shalt thou make. Breastplate. The vest, this is just the vest that goes over everything. In life today, we could say it's a suit coat that goes over everything. You could say that it's, and you guys, y'all have seen, I was hoping to have the projector up and going, but my multimedia crew has completely abandoned me today. Lord Jesus, help me. This breastplate would go over it, and it had 12 stones on it, which we're going to see in a moment. But I want us to look and see what is the usage of this breastplate of the high priest. It is the last thing that goes on, but it is the first thing that God speaks of. Isn't that interesting? Well, there's a need, and God has prioritized in his word what we ought to study and see the most of. Did y'all notice that there's also another grouping of precious stones? Did you notice that? Israel is God's precious stones. Well, the Bible says that the believer, that we are precious and peculiar in 1 Peter. Interesting how the correlation works. Now, I'm not saying that the church is a substitute for Israel. That's not true. God is not done with Israel. You and I are not the substitute. We are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just simple. And by the way, there's a lot of people out there. Hey, there's some men out there that if I mention their name, you'd be shocked, but they believe in substitutionary theology. That means that the church is a substitute for Israel because God put them away. A lot of garbage out there, especially amongst the covenant theologians, like the Peter Ruckmans. This breastplate of the priest is the best, and it's the last piece. Well, let's look at some thoughts on it. Number one, if it's on the chest, what is it there for? Well, when we look at another listing in Ephesians chapter 6, it's the breastplate of righteousness. What does it protect? Well, it protects the heart.
Yeah.
You look at a medieval soldier. You look at the plating of an armed guard or of a police officer. They have the Kevlar to protect what? Chest. Have you ever wondered why they don't put Kevlar on their face? It's a small target for one, but two, you couldn't see what was going on for the most part, and three, it doesn't make sense. So why would we put Kevlar on a police officer on his chest but not on his face? Ever thought about that? Without the heart pumping, the body's dead. Boy, there's a lot of great preaching that could go on that one, right?
Yeah.
What about the spiritual heart of a church? Or the spiritual heart of an individual? Without it pumping, the church is dead. And the spiritual body is dead.
Yeah.
Same can go with breathing, for that matter. To protect the chest is protecting the heart. I didn't write this, but also protecting the lungs. Mm-hmm. Without breathing, you're dead.
Yeah.
Without your heart pumping, you're dead. Matter of fact, friends, those are the two things you did not have to learn how to do.
Right.
Everything else you got to learn how to do. The pumping of your heart, God started it and God will stop it. And the working of your lungs, God started it and God can stop it. Now, that also correlates over to our spiritual, which is a whole other message. You need to know, you need grace and mercy to keep the spiritual heart going
yep.
and the spiritual breathing going on.
Yep.
Protect the heart. Number two, over the heart, it's the righteousness of the heart of God in comparison to the vile heart of man. So that breastplate on the high priest, in all its beauty, is seen by those that look at it, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, right? Pretty simple. But what does it show? It shows the righteousness of God's heart. And it's over the vile heart of Aaron. Now, there is a difference between Aaron the high priest and all his descendants and the Lord Jesus as being our high priest. What is it? Well, the Lord Jesus' heart is holy and perfect all the time, every time.
Yep.
But Aaron's heart and his descendants are wicked. How about the high priest that threw the Lord Jesus and had him beaten? Think about that a minute. Was his heart righteous or was it vile?
Vile.
But I can tell you now, God set it up for it
to
happen.
Yes, I know.
Caiaphas was wicked.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be the head religious man in all the land. Righteousness of the heart of God versus the vile heart of man. Of course, we have in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Here's something else to think about. Now, this breastplate is a plate of judgment. The judgment by the Holy Heart. Now, I'm not being judgmental. Yeah, you are. Oh, you know, judge not lest you be judged. You better be careful. Read that context of that passage. You and I make 200 and 300 and 400 judgments call every 10 minutes. How many judgment calls do you make behind the wheel when you're driving?
Oh, yeah.
Don't tell me you're not judgmental. You were judgmental today in the amount of makeup you might have put on, ladies, or the lack thereof. My ladies are all beautiful. And I tell you, I am so glad that our ladies at our church are love the Lord. They're just beautiful. They don't have to have all that makeup. I've been in some churches, y'all. I mean, to tell you, it looked like cake batter. Or not cake batter, but cake icing on the face. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you this right now. I noticed I've been in churches where the pastor's wife likes to use a lot of makeup. Now, granted, Pastor Charlie said that if the barn's chipped, you paint it. We all know that. But if the pastor's wife wore a bunch, the ladies did.
Yeah.
A lot of times, our churches, and by the way, there's wickedness not only in the pulpit, but there's wickedness in the wives of the men that are in the pulpits.
Yeah.
Wickedness in the pew. There's wickedness everywhere. Because why? Our heart's desperately wicked. We're not allowing God to make changes in our heart. Now, the judgment by the Holy Heart. Now, as we look at the great high priest here, that judgment is seen in the ephod. Sin has been judged. Moses said, "Be sure your sin will find you out." The Bible is very clear, the man that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to that man it is sin. Now, there's a lot of people who misconstrue that verse, like Oprah Winfrey, and she said, and many will say, well, what is sin to you is not sin to me. Well, that's garbage. Who cares what you think sin is, and who cares what I think sin is? We need to be along the lines of the Word of God and be more concerned about what does God think of this? Is this sinful or is this not sinful? And by the way, in the morning service, we're going to be dealing with some things, and I got a feeling we're going to have a small crowd because the devil don't want them here. We're going to be dealing with alcohol for the next few weeks. Lord's put it on my heart. I've been asking permission and ask God, what would you have me to do? I have been dealing so much with the wicked heart of men and women on this area of alcohol. We'll get into that more in this morning's service. But understand, this judgment is by a holy heart. If you're in the Word and you're letting God change your heart, you're going to find out that you are making a lot more judgment calls in your life than you are in others. I've got some that I'm praying for and some that I'm asking God to help. And it's not that I failed as a dad or I failed as this or that. It's just that they failed to be in the Word and see the importance of it. I showed them what a King James Bible looks like. I read it to them. I took them to a King James Bible church. I've had people call me this week. I said, look, man, we dealt with this 2 years ago. You're not in the Word. Why don't you see? Listen, your need of being in the Word of God with the Holy Spirit of God sitting beside you to teach you is more needful than breathing.
Yeah.
Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
More needful than breathing. More needful than water. More needful than anything physical. Sin has been judged, and I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus gained victory over sin. Amen. He can be our great high priest. Now, This breastplate is also beautiful. This breastplate is being carried, and it is not carrying the high priest. Did you notice that? Now, I know you may stand there and say, duh. But the fact is, this is on the high priest. What's on the high priest? There's stones. And we'll get into it more. But the names of the tribe of Israel are in each one of those stones.
Yeah.
Where's it at? On the heart of the high priest. Where do you think your name is? Well, the Bible tells us it's written in three different places.
Yes.
On the palm of the hand. It's written on the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah.
And on a white stone.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, beloved. He knows your name. And thankfully, he does. This breastplate, it's not what keeps the high priest up. The breastplate is not carrying the high priest. The high priest is bearing the burden. The high priest is carrying. There's a lot of times you think you're the one that's carrying you. Beloved, you're not. Of course, we know about the old poem of footprints. By the way, have you ever noticed that it says unknown? I know the man that wrote it. It was stolen from me. Got the meeting down at Perry, Florida, Faith Baptist Church. And forgive me, I can see his face, but I can't remember his name for anything. Got stolen from me. And then it was mass produced. That's why it says unknown. It's not unknown.
Right.
This man wrote a lot of poems, and I'll see if I can find the book. I got to find his name in the book. And he wasn't forthcoming with it. I remember there's a pastor saying, Brother Garvin, yeah, I asked him about footprints. Okay, I will. And I asked him about it, and he had that look on his face like, yeah, I wrote it. It got stolen from me. Beloved, that's about the truth, isn't it? There's a lot of stuff been stolen.
Yeah.
Right now they're trying to deceive you and to steal you right now with these Jesus Goddess or Jesus Forest commercials or whatever that.
Yeah.
That's such blasphemy.
Yep. Yep.
So one thing that the breastplate does is it helps me to understand that he's carrying me and it's not a burden to him.
Right.
This is also on that breastplate is a warning to my enemy. David's close to my heart. You leave him alone. Well, what does Paul say? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? This breastplate of the high priest, by the way, breastplate's on the chest. What is it? It's always close. Mm-hmm. Y'all catch that?
Good one.
All right, well, we have to go back to Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's always close. Hey, it's always remembered. So it's written on those stones that are on ephod, correct?
Yeah.
Hey, have you ever written down, y'all ever written down something on the palm of your hand? Right? Margie, don't shake your head and give me that face. All right. I don't need that this morning. I know you wrote it down somewhere. Oh, don't even give me that. There's been times when I have a sheet of paper in my notepad with me, which I try to keep a 3x5 card or notepad, and I jot things down as I can remember. Now I got one of the fancy dancy phones. And it's right now being used, but as I said, my multimedia crew, they abandoned me. But anyway, I've noticed that I have to write things down more and more and more. I got a blank card right here holding a place here. I got my old Bible out because I had some notes on them to use for the next message, and it's falling apart, but I like that old Bible.
Yeah.
It's falling apart, amen. A falling apart Bible means a stable Christian. It may be falling apart. And it may be coming unglued, but I can tell you right now, the one that's using it's not coming unglued and falling apart.
Wow.
Always remembered. Now, here's a thought for you with our high priest. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He remembers where I'm at all the time. He remembers what my needs are. He remembers this and he remembers that. Hey, beloved, you're always remembered. On this breastplate of the great high priest, is it is worn to be seen. Now, there are garments that we wear that are not to be seen. Now, I don't know if I need to go into detail for you to understand this. You know what? When I'm preaching, I'm building a building, and I got to put windows in so you can see into what I'm building.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to have to illustrate on clothing that is not to be seen.
All right. Amen.
Amen.
But you know what gets me is on the commercials today.
Oh, it's
plump, naked men and women.
It's sickening.
On
just
TV
started today. This year or last year.
In the last couple of years, it's just been absolutely horrid. The
can't
nudity,
stand it.
The nudity that's on at 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep.
So this breastplate that's on the high priest,
terrible.
It was worn to be seen.
Yeah.
I have a wedding ring and a watch, and my watch is to remind me what time it is. Now, as you know, a watch don't mean anything to a preacher. We preach by the calendar anyway.
Okay.
Right? Not by clock. Y'all get that later if you haven't heard it before. But we have certain things. I wore a tie today because my pastor told me I should. On Sundays, you don't stand up there in a professional manner. Y'all wouldn't do very good if I had a t-shirt on, muscle shirt, okay?
No.
Gotta have a muscle shirt.
No.
But anyway, it wouldn't do me much good to preach with a muscle shirt and shorts, flip-flops, a nose ring, eyeball ring, earring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh my.
I've never understood. I was talking to a young man the other day, and he's got an itty-bitty little horseshoe in his nose. And he's just trying to fit in is what he's trying to do. And it's both. I said, dude, why do you wear that in your nose? Well, because everybody else is doing it, I guess. So really? How about those great big the gauges that they're wearing? You know, like so. By the way, the rings, you have your ring size. That's a gauge size. You realize that, okay? So they'll put them in their ears and check. That's the dumbest thing I ever saw. Well, they go back to being a slave, but they don't realize they're a slave of Satan.
Yes.
That's that old indentured servant.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible speaks of it, how that the awl was put into the ear. That's what that gauge was for. That's what it is. It's showing these things. But the things that you have on today, beautiful earrings, smiles, maybe you have a brooch on. I don't know. You know, today I've noticed, and Sister Margie, you do this quite a bit, and Sister Karis, I think you have a couple times, but they'll wear a beautiful little brooch on their chest or whatnot. Well, that's what this is, but it's begun to be seen. Today, they want pink hair to be seen.
I know.
I took my hat off and I said to a young lady, I said, could you do my hair like yours?
Yeah.
Well, it would take a lot of work, but we could get her done. I said, you'd have to glue a bunch, wouldn't you? Yeah, we'd have to glue a bunch. But it is to be seen. You know that God wants the world to see who his kids are?
Yeah.
Did you hear me?
Yes, he does.
God wants the world to see who his kids are. You think about that. The Lord Jesus wants the world to see who his brethren are. This high priest, the breastplate. Well, it's beautiful. And it's precious to the one wearing the breastplate. Mm-hmm. This tie, y'all see this tie?
Yeah.
This tie is probably 40 years old.
You're kidding. Wow, that's nice.
Most of Pastor Charlie's ties that I had given to me, Mama Peggy did everything she could to save them all. There's probably I have a box over at the house that has another 300 or 400 ties in it.
Wow, you should wear them.
Yeah, I got to go back through me. Problem is, I already have about 100 ties. And Miss Jamie says, there's two things I can't have anymore. No, three things. Guitars, golf balls, and ties. Yes, ma'am. You know, over the years, I have 3 antique golf balls over there, just beautiful. Neat little golf balls from like the 40s and 50s. They're not antique, they're vintage. Sorry, man.
Vintage.
Beautiful and precious to the one wearing the breastplate. When our great high priest wears that breastplate, much like Aaron did, he's wearing it because it's precious. Well, I won't get into this. We'll get into this more next week about the names being engraved. Because there's a few things I want to show you about the engraving and the fact that our names have been written. There's also a new name. You don't know what that is? I don't know what it is, but God does.
Probably Gertrude or something.
I'm hoping on the name. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to come up with a name. Anyway, beloved, this morning, the high priest is the Lord Jesus. And that breastplate means an awful lot to him. Matter of fact, it meant so much that he allowed man to hang him on a cross. He gave up the ghost and died went into the grave, and 3 days later he arose again. That's an amazing Savior.
Yeah.
So to tell you the truth, that breastplate means an awful lot, whether it be Aaron or the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for what you've done with the Word, and I pray it's been a help to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I'll be back. I was hoping Kevin was up here. He's still up here.